Welcome back to B2B Growth. I'm Logan Lyles with Sweetfish Media. I'm joined today by Dmitry Dragilev. He is the founder of JustReachOut.io. His previous company, Polar, went from 0 to 40 million page views and ended up being acquired by Google. He is very passionate about PR, SEO, and has some results to share with us today. And he's going to unpack some of the tactics that have been very instrumental in his success. Dmitry, welcome to the show. How's it going today, sir?
Thanks. Good to be here. It's going amazing. It's a great day outside. So doing well today, man.
Shout out to Gaetano, who has been a regular repeat guest on the show, who connected us recently. Dmitry, for folks who aren't as familiar with you as myself and G, tell us a little bit about your background and what you and your team are up to these days, man.
I am a founder of Just Reach Out. We help businesses pitch journalists without PR firms and get featured in press every single week. And so we've helped over 5,000 businesses in the last 6 years. They all use our platform. And then outside of that, I do SEO consulting a little bit, mainly just run around with my two kids and enjoy the outdoors. I write for a lot of different publications, as you can imagine, all the major ones like Forbes and Entrepreneur, but the list goes beyond. In the last 10 years, 1,400 articles or so I've published.
Wow, man. Wow, that is so cool. Obviously, you're drinking your own champagne there, and that's what we're going to be talking about is, you know, we talked about your previous company, Polar, was on a tremendous ride and ended up being acquired by Google. I know that you've driven some great success for other SaaS companies using your platform. Before we get into some of the how of leveraging SEO and PR and doing it yourself, tell us why you're so passionate about companies leveraging, whether it's your platform or not, but leveraging some of these tactics to do PR themselves so that they can drive results more quickly.
Yeah, I think every business out there deserves to be seen if they are doing better for their customer. So if the customer is better off with that business in their back pocket, then that business deserves to be seen. Unfortunately, the way get seen works is that usually if you're listening to the show right now, you're thinking about hiring a person who is going to be your publicist. They can be a marketing agency that just gets stuff done. They can be some type of agency that pitches you. They could be some kind of other person that you hire, anybody. But it's usually the wrong move. The way you want to do this is you want to prove the process yourself and then hire somebody else to execute and scale it. In other words, you as the founder or you as the CMO right now listening to this needs to go out and pitch press and journalists on something and get a hook that gets opens. And then you can go and scale it. And I know that you're listening to this. You're saying, I have no skills in doing this. I don't know how I can be creating these stories and emails. I can't do this. And the truth of the matter is, if you are a C-level executive or you're a founder or you're a CMO, you're actually better at this than any PR firm you're going to hire. You know why? Because you know your story better than anyone else. If you work with a PR firm for the next 3 months and you pay them 10 grand a month, they will know less about the problem you're trying to solve than you will. If you work with them for a year, they'll probably know less than what you know about the problem. And you deserve the press you need, right? And you're the one that knows the problem more. And so you're the best one to come up with ideas. Now, you might need facilitators to help you come up with those ideas, but you're the one that needs to prove that that pitch, that idea is working. And then you can hire other people to create more and more ideas. And I know there's tons of publicists out there and PR people and communications people that probably, contradict what I'm saying. They won't be happy with this. I'd say the majority of them won't. And that's why we don't have a good relationship with most like straight up PR people. We used to say, forget PR firms and professionals, do PR yourself on our site. Just because I saw how messed up that whole industry is. And, you know, all the success I've gotten, that acquisition, 1,400 articles, starting this business, growing it to 5,000 customers. It's all through DIY PR, like, and SEO. So I've seen it work for myself. I've seen it work for thousands of my customers where the founder takes the steering wheel and is like, all right, I'm going to send out some pitches. They're going to suck, but I'm going to learn what works, what doesn't.
You know? I like that. They're going to suck, but I'm going to learn. That is such a quotable little thing there, Dimitri. I love it. You know what you're saying here, if we kind of take your methodology and your reasoning and apply it to ourselves here at Sweetfish, we have seen something similar when not necessarily in PR, but in sales development. So, you know, we found that working with an outside sales development firm, it wasn't necessarily, you know, the results that we were expecting, but when we took the time to write the copy and develop the messaging and then use them for the scale, combining our knowledge of our customers, the messaging we wanted to use, that sort of stuff, we did see that combo work really well. And yeah. So I see what you're saying there, because I've seen kind of a similar example in a different space.
It's very much like selling. Pitching journalists is almost exactly like trying to sell your stuff.
Yeah, to sell as human, as the book says, right? So, Dimitri, let's get into some of the how for listeners out there that say, you know what, this is worth a shot, at least. I don't know if I'm convinced yet, but I'm going to try something and I'm okay if I suck because I'm going to learn, going back to awesome. Your quote. So let's talk about picking topics. You have some very specific strategies to kind of end around, all right, where do I start picking topics to create content on? And obviously you've found a way to scale this, 1,400 articles or so in recent history. Tell us a little bit about where you begin there and what other founders and marketing professionals can learn from that.
So you're watching this. I won't bore you. Like, I don't have like a visual to show you, right? But the majority of you guys probably won't be watching this. You'd be listening to this, right? So the very first thing to think about is, what has that journalist written in my space? And that's kind of like my playbook for Polar, which was acquired by Google. We've done this over and over and over for 2 years. That was like what I lived for 2 years. Literally, I'm in wealth management space. So I'm in sales development space. Like, what are people covering right now? What's on the first page of Google? What's the first page of Google News for sales development? What are the topics that I know a lot about, right? And so when the wealth management space, maybe it's Bitcoin that is somewhat, you know, making a splash, but people are kind of trashing it. Or maybe in sales development, it's, you know, texting your customers and trying to text people to get them to respond faster. You need to find some kind of unique twist to a conversation that is hot right now. And not only you will know this, right? A PR firm is going to come in and going to say, well, this company is so great because it has X, Y, and Z, and we're going to pitch them, and I'm going to try and get somebody else to cover them because they covered one of my other clients. That is usually the wrong thing to do. The right thing to do is you as the founder putting a completely unique twist on what is happening. So if you're in wealth management, straight up, what do you think on Bitcoin, investing in Bitcoin, saving with Bitcoin right now with a such volatile market? You know, that could be one idea that, you know, might arise in your head if you're at all interested in that. You know, if you're a sales development, are you using texting? Are you using chat? How's that converting compared to email and phone calls? Do you have any data around that? So these are ideas that should, you know, you should start brainstorming basically as you are looking at headlines. And then the idea there, the next part is really, imagine you are at a conference with that person who wrote an article on that topic. How do you start a conversation? How would you say it out loud? And write your email pitch to them as if you're talking to them out loud. Actually read that thing to yourself as if you're saying it to them. Rehearse it. And if anything sounds off, screw it. Just like.
Yep. Man, I love that so much. James and I talk about that here at Sweetfish all the time. You know, we'll read email copy and just say, that does not sound like something you would say to a friend at a coffee shop, right? You've got to, what you said there is so key. You've got to write the copy and then you've got to read it out loud. It may feel awkward at first, but hey, we're all under quarantine. You're in your home office by yourself. Nobody but the dog is listening probably. So push through, right? Because I've found so many times. A quick little hack that's worked for me is I will open up a Google Doc before I ever open up that Compose for the email, and I'll go to Tools and I'll hit Voice Typing, and I will just start to talk, and that will help me get some words out. Now, you know, I'll have to clean it up for grammar and that sort of stuff, but something happens, right, when our fingers hit the keyboard where we start typing like we would never talk. So if you start with actually typing with your voice, then you avoid some of that friction. And I just see so many PR emails that are so long, and you would never, you know, go on for five paragraphs when you start a conversation with someone, you know, at a conference.
And
right?
And this is a little bit of a tangent, is all of our like anxiety and kind of like fears that are in the back of our minds, be it about like money or whatever is going on now, or doing outreach, whatever it is. If at the end of the day, you take like 3 minutes to literally write it out and say it out loud, it just loses its power. Usually, whatever that fear is, it's like a big thing that I've learned over the last 2 years. It's for something that happens when you say the stuff out loud, it loses its power in terms of fear, you know, that you have. But then it empowers you to create amazing copy for email pitches.
Yeah, man, I love that. I also love what you're saying about, you know, going to the source. Google those phrases and look at what the first page of Google is showing you, because every update to Google's algorithm, it's less and less about getting around the system and gaming the algorithm. And it is Google's getting better at connecting searchers with what is delivering their search intent. And so we're big believers that, you know, you can use Google Autosuggest and the first page of Google and look at those results to kind of reverse engineer the pitches you should be making and the content you should be creating. So tell us a little bit about this idea of, you know, starting your outreach for links even before you finish the article. To me, it kind of like, again, another analogy of, but writing your headline before you start writing the article, you know, and kind of flipping things. Tell us a little bit about how you go for, you know, this outreach for links in tandem with writing the content.
Yeah. So the goal of any business listening to this is to get publicity and exposure, right? The holy grail, the way you do that is content. And the way you're going to kind of do this at scale is if you have one piece of content on your blog that ranks really high for your key term. In the matter of Pipedrive, for example, most people listening to this know Pipedrive. They've been a customer of ours. They've been a consulting client of mine for years, years, and years. One of the first projects me and Gaetano actually worked on was this project to rank them number one for the term sales management. There's a blog post on their site that still outranks Wikipedia for the term sales management. And the sales management gets 70,000, 80,000 searches per month. And we outrank Wikipedia for it. Now, to do that, any business, if they want to start with something, they would write a piece of content. And when, as they're writing that piece of content, they need to start thinking about getting links to that piece of content. And the way to do that is to figure out what kind of examples, what kind of templates, what kind of resources will you have in that article to make sure that you get links to those resources. So in that specific case, sales management, you know, guide to sales management, we added specific examples of like typical job descriptions for a sales manager, typical salaries for a sales manager, data on sort of how long a typical sales manager stays with a company, and sales management techniques, section. So these are things that our people can link to and you can link to in the future. So as you're writing that article, you can go and outreach to Freshdesk, or maybe you go to LinkedIn blog, or maybe sales folk, and say, hey, I'd love to write an article for you about sales management techniques. We're putting together a definitive guide on our site. It's not ready yet, but I have some content and interesting research that I'd like to write for you. You're lining those up because when you're ready with your main article on your Pipedrive's blog, you need to have four or five of them lined up. So then you turn around and you write those guest posts for all these other publications or these blogs on Sales Folk and similar ones, right? So that then those links are almost instantly there after you finish your main piece on your own blog. And to do that, really to help yourself link back to your own site and help others do the same, you need kind of like the holy grails in that blog post on something. You know, it could be the breakdown between, you know, sales managers for SaaS companies versus a different industry versus, you know, mom and pop shops, brick and mortar. Could be some kind of data like that. Could be a survey of sales managers where they're most productive, the environments they're productive in, something like that. But you want to start thinking in terms of that content. And this is just for that example in your space, whatever it is. Start thinking that way and start including maybe just one thing that you think would you'd have an easy way to link back to and turn it into a whole guest article somewhere else. It needs to be natural, and statistics, data, that kind of stuff is really good to add and as a link asset. Think of it as like you'll never be able to take everything you add into this blog post on your own site and move it into another piece anywhere else. You have to kind of reference that, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I love this idea of, because what you're saying is those backlinks are just going to come, right? Because you've already done that guest post and it ties to this meaty post that you're doing here. And so the pitch is already done because you've just kind of reverse engineered the result, kind of just like we're talking about reverse engineering the SEO results by looking at what's on the first page of Google. Where does it not cover enough? Talk a little bit more about that, Dimitri, because we've been looking at that a lot. You know, we were kind of dissecting a guest post that Brandon Redlinger over at Engageo did that ranks number one for ABM examples. And it's very much in line with what you were saying. It broke down very specific examples, talked about the tech use, talked about, you know, and kind of broke down each example. And what we always kind of use as our gut check internally is there meat on the bone with this piece of content? Does it go deep into those little nuances that people are asking? Now, you have to have expertise in your space. You have to have knowledge of the problems that folks are facing. But if you combine that expertise in your space with just reverse engineering the results that you want to see, as opposed to just kind of throwing spaghetti at the wall, then you see some results. Can you talk a little bit more about that when it comes to what we call meat on the bone with the article and ways to increase, you know, that page, the stay time on the page and click-throughs, that sort of stuff, as you're putting together your piece of content as well?
I still help Gaetano with a lot of the work he's doing even now. And I help a lot of folks out there with exactly this, where you're kind of struggling to overtake competitors to rank. You're on page three, you're on page two, and you're stuck. You're stuck and you've done your technical due diligence. You've improved the page to load really fast. You're just stuck. And what happens is the weakness analysis, and I call it weakness analysis, hasn't been done. I say weakness because your competitors should have a weakness. When you're thinking about writing an article, the very first thing I do is I look at the keyword, and keyword research is a whole other ball game. But once you pick that keyword and you know that you're going to rank for it, then you need to do your weakness analysis and figure out why you deserve a spot number one on Google, and then figure out a plan to get there. It's mainly like building a product. And I think of it as if I went to court tomorrow and I had to prove to a jury of why I deserve number one spot against all my competitors who are on the first page of Google, what would my argument be? How would I prove it to them, right? I have to analyze what's there. And I basically should say, hey, this one is old and outdated. This one, the user experience sucks. This one doesn't go deep enough on the topic. Here is five things that this one omitted. Here is, and so when you say going deep on the topic, that could mean different things. You know, it could go deep, but it doesn't show you examples of how to implement it. Or it could go deep, but something has to be wrong with it, right? And where you identify that depth is not the right kind of depth. Or maybe it's not broken down the same way, or maybe the content is old, or maybe it's hard to digest and implement. Something like that where you need to do that analysis. The other thing to do is, of course, figure out which terms and topics are already covered and make sure that you're covering those in depth, because a lot of times you might go into that weakness and you might go all out on that one piece, but you didn't cover all these other things about it, right? I have a client in Bitcoin space, and they're using our software, and they wrote one on Bitcoin investment sites. And, you know, it's a great list. It's way up to date. It's amazing content. It's a much better content than what is ranking there now. But they forgot to put things like trusted, legitimate websites. Why invest in a Bitcoin? Why is Bitcoin important? And these are all topics that have been covered already on all the other articles, even though they went deep on that one weakness. Here's a list of Bitcoin sites. They didn't go deep, or they didn't cover anything else that other people have covered. And to stay competitive, you kind of have to go after what they've done already and go hard on that weakness.
Right? Oh, man, that is so good. We've never used that term weakness analysis, but that's exactly what we're doing with our own SEO strategy here at Sweetfish and for a lot of our customers. I think you broke it down really, really well there, Dimitri. And a good reminder there too, to not just focus on that weakness and just, you know, attack it. You should, but you have to cover all of your other bases as well, which goes back to what is the searcher's intent and how can I match that better, which again, you have to have expertise in your industry, but I love the way that you broke it down there. For anybody looking for some follow-up resources, we're going to put some links in the show notes on some of the strategies and tactics that have led to a lot of the success that you've mentioned here, Dimitri. Two other episodes, we got to give another shout out to our man G on episode 620. So a long time back here on B2B Growth, but still one of our top episodes. G explained how to skyrocket organic traffic in 5 steps. And that was just, I remember listening to that as an early listener of B2B Growth. Well, not early, there were 600 episodes in, but early for me when I first started listening before I was on the Sweetfish team. So another one you might want to check out if you're enjoying this episode is a behind the curtain episode James and I did on how we leverage Google Alphabet Soup to identify keyword search volume. So if any of this is intriguing to you, check out those episodes as well as some links from Dimitri here in the show notes. Dimitri, if anybody listening to this is intrigued and has become a fast fan of yours, just like myself, what's the best way for them to reach out or to stay connected with you? I know you're a fan of just reaching out, right? It's right in your company name. So how can they do that most easily and connect with you, man?
Go to justreachout.io and hit the contact link there. You can also reach me at dimitri@justreachout.io. I respond on email the best.
Awesome, man. Dimitri, this has been so much fun. Thank you for making time for this and unpacking some really applicable stuff that folks, you know, especially right now as they're trying to get found online more than ever. It's just so important for folks right now. And like you said, you're passionate about folks that are solving problems, getting found. So I appreciate you adding value for listeners today. Thank you so much for being on the show, man.
Thanks for having me.
Hey everybody, Logan with Sweetfish here. If you're a regular listener of B2B Growth, you know that I'm one of the co-hosts of this show, but you may not know that I also head up the sales team here at Sweetfish. So for those of you in sales or sales ops, I wanted to take a second to share something that's made us insanely more efficient lately. Our team has been using LeadIQ for the past few months, and what used to take us 4 hours gathering contact data now takes us only one. We're 75% more efficient, we're able to move faster with outbound prospecting, and organizing our campaigns is so much easier than before. I'd highly suggest you guys check out LeadIQ as well. You can check them out at leadiq.com. That's LeadIQ.com.